And welcome back to the second half of Earth First Radio. I'm Uncle Dennis, and in the studio tonight is David Rovics helping me out, and he'll be playing a little more music later on, and then we're going to have a special one-hour David Rovics Earth First Radio Hour. So stand by for that. We're going to read some more news here, and this time we're going to be into animal and plant and habitat news, and David's indicating he wants his beer opened. Thanks to the internet and the Audubon Society of Florida's Center for Birds of Prey and the Orlando Sentinel, people from all over the country, actually all over the world, can witness the growth and development of two baby bald eagles right in the nest. The downy eaglets will grow up in a 75-foot-high tree in central Florida, out in the middle of the Everglades. The exact location is not being revealed in order to protect the birds, but they do have a video camera mounted in a tree above the nest a safe distance away from the eagles, and folks around the world are able to witness this miracle of nature, according to Reese Collins, director of the Audubon Society of Florida's Center for Birds of Prey, a recovery center for injured birds. The website of the Orlando Sentinel has hosted the village of the proud eagle parents since they began nesting a year ago, and if you're interested in that webpage, it is www.orlandosentinel.com/projects/eagle. Once again, that webpage, www.orlandosentinel.com/projects/eagle. And photographer Red Huber of the Sentinel made the initial discovery. Until the hatchlings leave the nest in about 3 months, the video camera will continue to record their development. The nestling survival is not guaranteed. Only 3 out of every 10 eaglets survive their first year. Although under constant parental supervision, there is risk that one or both of the eaglets will not survive. One eaglet might be killed by the larger one, or a parent sensing a genetic defect could off the poor one. Storms and predators also make the eaglet's future uncertain. And in other bird news, a petition by the Center for Biological Diversity to have the yellow-billed cuckoo listed as endangered has finally been ruled on. Executive Director Kieran Suckling says that after 12 years of battling the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service through petitions and lawsuits, the group has gotten through the first hoop of the listing process. A full listing will affect every riparian area west of the Rocky Mountains, Suckling says. Threats to the yellow-billed cuckoo were first brought to the attention of the Fish and Wildlife Service in 1988 by the Western Field Ornithologists, Animal Protection Institute, Defenders of Wildlife, Sacramento River Preservation Trust, Friends of the River, Planning Conservation League, God Davis, and a whole bunch of other folks. The petition was denied. In February 1988, the Tucson-based Center for Biological Diversity filed the petition to list the bird as endangered in all states west of the Rocky Mountains. The petition was co-signed by 12 other bird protection and environmental conservation groups across the United States. You want to try another one, David?
Kex checker, mallow. Kex checker, mallow. Not extinct, just endangered. Sacramento, California, February 17, 2000. Kex checker, mallow, a California native plant once thought to be extinct but rediscovered in 1992, will be protected as an endangered species. The USFWS announced Wednesday.
That's the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service.
Oh, thank you. For more than 50 years, biologists believed Kex checker mallow was extinct because it had disappeared from its historic locations near the White River in Tulare County, and Piedra in Fresno County. In 1992, however, consultants conducting a site survey for a subdivision discovered a population of 60 plants in Tulare County. Another population of 216 plants was found in Fresno County in 1998. Together, these two populations occupy a total of about 3 acres on both private and federal lands. However, okay, here comes the bad part, right? Urban development and agricultural land conversion are the primary threats facing Kex checker mallow, said Michael Spear, the service's California Nevada operations manager. And we're not going to do anything about it. Oh, no. Random natural events like disease, drought, fire, or flood also could drive the species into extinction because of its small numbers. The mallow is one of 10 California plants federal judge Charles Beyer ordered the agency to protect after a lawsuit by the Center for Biological Diversity, yay, and the California Native Plant Society. On February 9th, the agency listed the Neyland Prairie Pennycress as endangered. U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has until March 15th to make final listing decisions for the Santa Cruz tar plant, Baker's larkspur, yellow larkspur, La Graciosa thistle, Lampac yerba santa, gaviota tar plant, and two species of purple amole. These are all Spanish plants, I noticed.
They were named early on in California's history.
You would think that, like, this used to be part of Mexico or something.
To be again, I suppose. And also in California, the riparian brush rabbit and riparian wood rat are being listed as endangered under the Endangered Species Act, according to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. The two species once inhabited forests along major streams flowing into the floor of the northern San Joaquin Valley. But loss of habitat has reduced the populations of both species. Biologists are able to confirm just one population of each animal in Caswell Memorial State Park along the border of the San Joaquin and Stanislaus counties, but say there may be other small populations in brush outside of the park. The animals face extinction because about 90% of riparian forests along Central Valley rivers have been lost to urban, commercial, and agricultural development, said Michael Speer, manager of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service California Nevada Operations Office. Before development, the floodplain was livestock pasture with brush and trees for cover and escape. Conversion from pasture to cultivated fields eliminated hedgerows that provided travel corridors for the rabbit and the rat. During major storms such as those during the winter of 1997 and 1998, Caswell Memorial State Park was flooded for prolonged periods, so the rabbits and wood rats had nowhere to forage or seek shelter. Survivors were forced to higher ground on cleared levees or fields that lacked cover from predators. The riparian brush rabbit is a medium-sized cottontail, about a foot long and weighing less than 2 pounds, and makes its home in dense riparian forests and seldom moves more than a few feet from cover. It does not cross large open areas, which keeps it from dispersing beyond the dense forests. The riparian wood rat lives in neat stick nest houses or lodges positioned over or against logs on the ground and eats leaves, fruits, and flowers. The Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission has ordered cuts in horseshoe crab fishing along the entire Atlantic coast from Maine to Florida. The decision cuts the harvest by 25% based on average annual harvest from 1995 to 1997. In addition to the reductions, they voted to recommend a closure of all federal waters in a 30-mile radius from the mouth of the Delaware Bay. Now, that's what I call progress. The Delaware Bay is the second largest shorebird migration staging area in the world, and horseshoe crab eggs provide nutrients needed for migrating birds to stop over in the bay. Although reduction is a step in the right direction, environmentalists were hoping for more significant restrictions. Conservation groups and representatives from New Jersey, Maryland, and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service were pressing for a 50% reduction to allow the species to recover from increased fishing and to protect the migratory birds and sea turtles that rely on horseshoe crabs for food. And defenders of wildlife and several other conservation organizations have filed a 60-day notice of intent to sue the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, the Army Corps of Engineers, and the Federal Highway Administration for failure to protect the endangered Florida panther. The groups charge that these federal agencies have allowed negligent permitting and planning activities to infringe upon essential panther habitat. The National Wildlife Federation, Florida Wildlife Federation, Sierra Club, and Collier Audubon Society are also participating in the legal actions. By failing to take the Florida panther into account, the government's actions are setting a precedent which will allow eradication of the only known panther population in the eastern United States in favor of irresponsible development, said Lori McDonald, a Florida representative for the Defenders of Wildlife. The federal agencies are promoting development on lands deemed essential to the panther instead of on already settled lands, the group said. Sprawling human populations, that's us, and development are translating into huge losses of habitat, they add, and combined with panther isolation and inbreeding have caused the panther population to shrink alarmingly. Unfortunately, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has predicted that the Florida panther will probably become extinct within 2 to 4 decades and that a catastrophic event could accelerate extinction significantly. Our immediate goal is the survival of the Florida panther, said Nancy Payton of the Florida